The bell choir is going to play as we quiet our hearts for worship.
Everyone. This morning the bells learned, the choir learned a new way to play the bells, and it's called singing bells. And I'm going to let them start while I read a passage from Psalms 108. It's a psalm of David. My heart is steadfast, O God, my heart is steadfast. I will sing and make melody. Awake, my soul. Awake, O harp and lyre, I will awake the dawn. I will give thanks to thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises to thee among the nations, for thy steadfast love is great above the heavens. Thy faithfulness reaches to the clouds. The singing bells.
Thank you to the Bell Choir for the inspiration and beautiful music. It's always good to gather and where we can gather together with fellow Christians. It's comforting, it's relaxing, and it's just good to be together. Welcome you to the house of the Lord this morning. I wondered, are there any announcements that folks have?
Good morning. Friday and Saturday was our spring children's consignment sale, and it went wonderfully again this time. So I just wanted to say a big thank you to everyone that helped, from delivering racks, setting up tables, volunteering, the consigners, everybody. We don't have any totals yet, but we definitely topped the fall, so that is wonderful. And Weston has an announcement.
The youth group is selling baked goods in the gathering place after service. Everything's by donation, so make sure you stop by and take a look.
Anyone else have other announcements? We have a pretty amazing women's fellowship here. They do a lot of work, and a lot of good things come out of the women's fellowship. I think we all owe them a lot of gratitude. We also have a good youth group, and we're glad for them as well. There's other announcements that I won't mention too many. I know the board meeting is coming up this Tuesday. Just a reminder, the spaghetti supper. And the other announcements you can read in the bulletin as well. Why don't we stand and greet one another this morning? Let's remain standing for the first hymn. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone.
This was the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it.
Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord.
O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endures forever. Let's say the invocation prayer together. Gracious and eternal God, we thank you for the bonds of love we share within your church. We thank you for Jesus Christ, who has joined us into one living body. Enable us by your Spirit to walk together in unity of love and purpose, to help one another by work and example, to live in faithful obedience to your will. By the justice and mercy we show one another, may your name be praised through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. Story goes of an older fella that was driving pretty erratically one day. I think it was a Saturday evening. He was going at a high rate of speed and not staying within his lane, and of course the officer pulled him over. I think it might have been Tim, but I'm not sure. Maybe it wasn't. And he said, "Where are you going at such a high rate of speed?" And the guy said, "Well, I'm going to church. I'm a minister." And he said, "On a Saturday night?" He said, "Yeah, we're having revivals." And he said, "Which church is it?" And he couldn't say, "I forget the name, but it's the one down the road here, the next closest church." He said, "Uh-huh." Then he noticed he had an open container of drink in his cup holder. He said, "What's in your container there?" And he said, "Oh, it's water." And the officer said, "You mind handing it to me?" Which he did, and the officer smelled it. He took a sip. He said, "This is wine." And he said, "Well, praise the Lord, he's done it again." I think we can usually find excuses for doing whatever we do whenever we decide to do it, including whether or not we're going to tithe. But mostly we just need to justify ourselves with our God and our Savior as to what we're going to give, what we're going to do and say, and how we live. At this time, the offertory statement. He has shown you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God? At this time, the children can go to children's worship, and will the ushers come forward after that? At this time, we'll hear from our senior choir.
Morning. Good to see all of you here this morning. I want to thank Mark for leading worship this morning when he was talking about the minister with the water and the wine. I was wondering if he was talking about me there for a while. I was getting a little nervous. But I can assure Tim that I never had wine in the car. I haven't reached that point where I can make that magic turn from water to wine, but I do have water in the car, but never wine. So, in your bulletins this morning, before we go to prayer, I just want to make a few announcements about our ones that we need to pray for. There's a list of names that we need to remember in prayer. We need to remember Brother Harvey Berger in prayer. His wife Betty passed away this past week. And we need to keep him in prayer. There will be a memorial service here this Wednesday at 6 o'clock. There's not going to be any viewing or anything like that. They're just going to have a time of worship and greeting. And following the memorial service, there will be a time of refreshment. So if you're not doing anything, it would be good to come out and give support for Brother Harvey during his loss, with his loss. And also, this week, we always pray for a district church, and this week we're praying for the Coventry Church of the Brethren, and the Ambler Church of the Brethren is praying for us. Let's come to our God in prayer. Heavenly Father, we gather this morning in this time of worship. Lord, help us to know the privilege and honor of knowing you as our Lord and knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're so thankful, Lord, for the spiritual blessings that we have received through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And as we journey in this time of Lent, we're in the second Sunday of Lent, Lord, help us to know what it was like for Jesus as he journeyed closer to the cross. Jesus went through a lot of suffering and pain and heartache, Lord God. We know that he was not only the Son of God and risen, but he's also human. He suffered just like we do, Lord. And as we journey with Jesus, help us to be aware of the suffering he went through. But most of all, help us to know that there's always a mission that Jesus had to fulfill, which was to go to Jerusalem, to suffer and die and be raised the third day to give us eternal life. Lord, that was his mission. Lord, as we gather this morning, we gather around that wonderful mission that Jesus gave us to make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And lo, Lord, you're with us always. We thank you, Lord, that you're with us. In this time of worship, help us to see the privilege and honor of being here for worship. We know, Lord, that there are many persecuted Christians today around the world. Sometimes we just don't know the suffering that many Christians face in the name of Jesus. But there are many, and so we pray this morning for the persecuted church and the many nations. We pray for our own people here at Myerstown who have ongoing illnesses, who are homebound. Many of them, Lord, are faithful. Prayer blessings upon them, Lord God. We pray for everyone this morning on the prayer concern list, for those who are going through trials, tribulations, illnesses, financial struggles. Lord, we just lift all those to you as the one who knows all things, that you have a plan. Help us to know that you have a plan for every situation that we face. Lord, we lift up this morning Brother Harvey Berger, who lost his wife Betty. We thank you for Betty's life and her involvement here at Myerstown Church. We thank you that she is with you in heaven right now. She was someone, Lord, who had such a close relationship with you, and we're thankful for that. We pray that you would be with the family as they have the memorial service for Betty this Wednesday. Lord, this day we lift up the Coventry Church of the Brethren, for this church, for the leaders, for the pastor, for the ministry that Coventry does. We pray your blessings upon them. Help them, Lord, to stay focused on the mission that you gave them as a church. We lift up our country right now. That's in turmoil right now. We lift up our leaders, our president, our members of Congress and the Senate. Pray that they be ever mindful of your leading and how important it is to go by your principles and by your laws. We know, Lord, that what the Bible says, blessed is a nation who makes God the Lord, And we believe, Lord, that when we follow your ways, Lord, that we will truly be blessed, that we will truly be one nation under God. We pray for the church, this church here. We pray for each one of us as members, that we would have the light of Jesus Christ in our walk, in our conversations with each other, in our jobs that we have each and every day. May we walk and have the light of Jesus Christ in our example. Pray that you would lead us and be with us now as we read your holy word this morning for inspiration and authority, that we would be mindful of your leading. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Turn with me to our scripture text today, taken from Luke 13, 31 to 35. And you can follow along in the insert sheet this morning as we go through the message this morning. The message of this the sermon title this morning is Jesus Laments. Jesus Laments. Jesus was very sorrowful over the people who refused to follow his ways. And we're going to read about that this morning. This is where Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem. But before this, we see that he had a warning. So let's look at Luke 13, 31 through 35. Hear the word of the Lord. On that very day, some Pharisees came, saying to him, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." And he said to them, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons and perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must journey today, tomorrow, and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together, as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you are not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May God add a blessing in the reading of his holy word. Let us pray. God, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of my favorite cartoons when I was a kid was The Roadrunner. Now you have to know, this is a cartoon that goes back to the late 1960s. I loved The Roadrunner. Whenever I would watch The Roadrunner, I was always pulling for the Wile E. Coyote. Now, the coyote was the one who was crafty, tricky. He always had some trick up his sleeve to see if he could catch The Roadrunner. But to my disappointment, every time this coyote failed, he could not catch this bird. All of his experiments failed, and he had so many experiments, he had so many traps. He tried something different every time, but the traps fell apart. They failed. And so this coyote, who was so crafty and sly, was just a total failure because he could not catch the one thing he wanted, which was simply a fast, loudmouth bird. And when you think about it, a wily coyote is really an evil creature by his actions and motives. And that leads to today's lesson. In today's lesson, Jesus called Herod a fox, similar to a coyote, because Herod was just like a wily coyote. He was crafty. Herod was crafty. He was cunning. He was tricky. Herod was a powerful ruler over Galilee, where Jesus lived. And in today's lesson, Herod was threatening Jesus with his power and authority. And the Pharisees warned Jesus about Herod's threats. Look at Luke 13, 31. On that very same day, Pharisees came saying to Jesus, "Get out and depart from here, for Herod wants to kill you." Now, how would you respond if someone came to you with that threat? Well, Jesus never backed down. He never backed down to Herod's threat, as we see in today's text. In fact, Jesus was rather confident. He was confident in God's authority. Because look what he told the Pharisees to tell Herod, verse 32. He tells them, "I cast out demons." Jesus says this, "I cast out demons. I perform cures today and tomorrow. On the third day, I shall be perfected." So Jesus is saying, "You think I'm going to back down over this threat from Herod?" Jesus was telling the Pharisees and Herod, "I have spiritual authority from God." Plus, Jesus says this, and this is what we need to remember. Jesus says, "I have a goal to fulfill. I have a goal to fulfill as the Son of God, and that is to go to Jerusalem, to suffer and die and be resurrected from the dead." Jesus says, in essence, "That is my goal, and I'm going to accomplish this goal." If you go back in Luke chapter 9, verse 51, if you look there, Jesus says there early on in his ministry, Luke 9, 51, it says, "It came to pass when the time had come for Jesus to be received up that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem." He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. Nothing would stop him. Nothing would stop him. Jesus had a mission to fulfill as the one who had become our Lord and Savior. And he knew what was ahead of him. He knew in order to accomplish this mission, it wasn't going to be easy. He knew that he was going to suffer and die. But he never backed down from any suffering he would receive. And that, my brothers and sisters, is a strength. Can we say that? Can we all say that today, that we will never back down in our faith whenever we involve suffering, whenever we go through suffering? Let's look at what it means to suffer. Suffer did not go over well with the Pharisees and the Jews. Suffering was a sign of weakness for the Messiah, for their king. The Jews could not understand how Jesus could be their Messiah if he was going to suffer. But it's not just the Jews who thought and believed that. Everybody thinks that today. I mean, don't we believe that suffering is a sign of weakness in our world today? Many people do. You might be able to identify with that, and I might be able to identify with that, because no one wants to suffer. We all want the easy, pain-free life. And so we choose not to suffer. But think what would have happened if Jesus would have done that. If Jesus would have chosen not to suffer, we all would have paid the consequences. And that is that no one would be saved. Turn with me to Hebrews 2:10. If you go past the Gospels, past Galatians and Ephesians, you get to Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 10. This tells us what Jesus, his mission for suffering. It says, "For it was fitting for him," for Jesus, "for whom are all things and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering." So that tells us that there is always a reason for our sufferings in the name of Jesus and our faith. Jesus knew that his mission was to save multitudes of people. and he would accomplish that. He would get that accomplished no matter what the cost. We knew, though, that the price what Jesus have to pay was his life. Now, one important point we need to know about today's lesson is that the Pharisees and Herod were doing their best to keep Jesus from going to the cross. Now, it's not clear what the motives were from the Pharisees when they told Jesus to leave, to escape Herod's threats. Some believe that the Pharisees were trying to protect Jesus from danger. I don't really think that's their mission. I think the Pharisees and Herod wanted Jesus to walk away from the cross and not go and fulfill the mission. They were doing their best to warn Jesus not to do that. The Pharisees were trying to tell Jesus, just walk away. You know, you're in trouble. Your life's in danger. Walk away. Abandon your ministry. Go back to being a carpenter. In essence, that's what they were saying. And look at Herod. Herod was powerful, had a lot of authority. But I can guarantee you that he was a little nervous at this time when Jesus was getting popular. Jesus was, at this time in ministry, very popular. He was casting out demons, healing people, doing miracles. Herod's thinking, I must deal with Jesus. He's a threat. I must get rid of him. One biblical commentator says this, and I think this is good, and I quote, "The devil was trying to sow seeds of doubt into the mind of Jesus and his followers." Think about that. The Pharisees were asking Jesus, is it really worth all the suffering that you're going through? Is your ministry, Jesus, really worth all of your suffering? Now, I'm sure you might have been asked that question before with something that you're facing. We all face sufferings, trials, persecutions of some sort. You might have been involved in a job that was difficult. Someone might have said to you, is it worth all the suffering that you're going through with your job? Or with marriage problems, family problems. You were probably told, is it worth all this heartache that you're going through? Isn't it easier to just kind of walk away? Is it worth all the suffering that you're going through, no matter what it is? Just walk away with that. You don't need that. We've got to think about that when they say that. I remember when I first felt the call to go into the ministry. I was a very young and naive 23-year-old at the time. And I'll never forget what my pastor told me about the ministry. My pastor's name was Luke Brandt. Some of you might remember him. He was pastor of Indian Creek for years where I grew up. At the time that I was going into ministry, Luke Brandt was very experienced. He saw a lot in his ministry. He was an experienced pastor. And when I was exploring the question of whether I should pursue the ministry or not, Luke gave me some advice. He said this. He says, if at all possible, he says, stay out of the ministry. I said, well, thanks a lot. He says, if it's possible, stay out of the ministry. You're going to be going through a lot of trials. And he is also telling me that one of the problems he saw in ministry is many pastors go into ministry and they leave after a while because of all the trials that they went through, or they find some other job that pays more. He saw that as a problem. Now, you have to know that this was coming from an experienced pastor. And I'm sure Luke has his share. He passed away. I'm sure he had his share of challenges in his ministry of being a pastor. But he was really telling me, is the ministry worth the sacrifice that's ahead of you? He said you need to think about that. Many people don't think about the cost and sacrifice of any important decision they make. I remember when I was single, I'm a rare case. I got married when I was 54 years old. I know there's not many people that get married that late in life, but one of the struggles that I experienced was being single all those years. I mean, here I was in my late 40s, still single, and I was thinking, you know, is this really what God wants me to do, to get married? And someone one time made a comparison. He says, well, Marty, if you choose to stay single, you're going to be in your safe zone. Is that what you want? It's up to you. Well, I guess I'm not in my safe zone anymore. Nothing wrong with that. I am glad I am married. But I had to deal with that question. Do I want to stay in my safe zone and have everything my way or not? Something we all got to think about with any decision. When I was pastor at my first church in the Western Pennsylvania district, I had a deaconess in the church who had a rebellious son. Her son was in his early 30s at the time, and he was in a bad marriage, and it was breaking her heart as his mother. You know, she was active in the church, active Christian, and to see her son's marriage fall apart was just heartbreaking for her. And what would happen is whenever there was a problem in this marriage, she'd get a phone call. And the phone call was not from her son. It was from her son's wife, her daughter-in-law. She would call her many times during the week and say, you know, your son is doing this to me. Your son is mistreating me. He's doing something really bad. Do something about it. Talk to your son. Tell him to stop doing what he's doing. He never listened to her, never listened to her advice, and the problems in the marriage continued to pile up. And one day, this deaconess in the church came to me, weeping for her son, and she said, you know, Pastor, I can honestly say that I regret being a mother. Too much for me to handle. Can't handle it anymore. Can't take it anymore. I regret it. She was saying the hardship, the sacrifice was not worth it for her. And she ended up weeping for her son. Not angrily, but sorrowful. She did her best, but her son went astray. And I thought of what Jesus was doing, what he wept over. As this mother wept for her son, Jesus wept over Jerusalem. Look what Jesus says, Luke 13, 34. We see here Jesus lamenting and weeping, Luke 13, 34. Jesus says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her, how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under wings, but you are not willing. We see here, we see Jesus' heart. We see Jesus' heart for his people, just like a mother has for her own children. Jesus came to the people as a shepherd, caretaker, one who would lead, and he wanted to take care of his people, gather them under his wings and show them the right way, show them ways of God, but they were not willing to obey him. In fact, Jesus says, you killed the prophets that came to you. The prophets were the ones who spoke God's message, the true prophets were. He says, you just killed them. You killed the prophets of God. They're not willing to obey. Why? Because they could not accept the message from God, which was to repent of your sins and follow God. What does this mean for us this morning? You and I need to ask ourselves, is following Christ worth the sacrifice? Is it worth my suffering? For many people, it is not. And they choose to walk away from Jesus. When trials come, when the road gets rough, people just say, just walk away. I can't deal with it. As Jesus wept over Jerusalem, Jesus weeps over us today. Look at Luke 13, 35. Jesus says to the Jews there, see, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Now, who were the people who paid the price for their rebellion against God? It was the people of God. Jesus says, you saw your own house of worship be destroyed. He's talking about the temple that was destroyed in 70 AD. Jesus says, you saw that. You saw that. That's why he says, see what you have done? If only you knew my ways. I got to thinking about that. What that must have been like to have your house of worship, something very sacred, be destroyed right in front of your eyes. If this would happen to our country, where something tragic would happen that would destroy something very sacred in our country, how would we as a nation respond? I can tell you how we'd respond. There'd be a lot of blame going on. Well, this is their fault. It's the other guy's fault. It's these people, these evil people, these people that are more evil than me, it's their fault. No, it's not. No, it's not. The message from Jesus is this. We are the ones who pay the price of rejecting Jesus and his gospel. We are the ones who do that. So the question I asked this morning in the season of Lent is this. How can you and I walk with Jesus to Jerusalem when the road gets rough? When trials come? How could we walk? How can we go the extra mile, sacrifice for the sake of the gospel? How can we take up our own cross? First point in your inserts there. Don't give in. Don't walk away in times of hardships. When Jesus was facing the threats of Herod, Jesus says, on the third day, I shall be perfected. In other words, he's saying, I'm not going to walk away. He was saying, all the suffering that I'm going to go through is going to lead to my glory. There's an outcome. There's a goal. Can't lose my focus. We can't lose our focus as people of God, as people of the church. Don't get sidetracked over issues that don't pertain to the mission, the gospel of Jesus. And whenever the road gets hard for you, just ask yourself, is the sacrifice worth it? Yes, it is, for the sake of the gospel of Christ. Many of you might be facing that place this morning where you're facing something hard. It might be a decision. It might be a hardship in the home, at work, and you're asking yourself, how much more can I take when the road is hard? Ask yourself, is it worth the sacrifice of Jesus Christ? Don't walk away. Second, when you face a difficult road, you must go in the power of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it alone. With any long and difficult road, with any difficult decision, you must go in a spirit of prayer and in the power of the Holy Spirit. Can't do it alone. Can't do it on your own power. You must follow the example of Jesus where he was led by the Holy Spirit at every important part of Jesus' ministry, of every important part of Jesus' life. The Bible says he was led by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus was in the synagogue at 12 years of age, when he was teaching with the teachers, the Bible says he was led there by the Holy Spirit. When Jesus faced 40 days in the wilderness, being tempted by Satan, the Bible says he was led by the Holy Spirit. He did not go in his own spirit. You can't be in a difficult place in your own life by your own power. Third, you must sacrifice something in yourself in order to go in the power of the Holy Spirit. We can't have the easy life if we want Christ in the center of our lives. You must sacrifice something in your life. When Jesus went 40 days in the wilderness, his sacrifice was fasting. Fasting 40 days. You and I might need to sacrifice something. And I believe that we all have something in our lives that we need to sacrifice for Jesus Christ. It might be an unhealthy habit. It might be a bad attitude. It might be a busy schedule where you have no time for God at all. Whatever it is. Scheduling time. Whatever it is, you and I need to sacrifice something, and it needs to begin today. Whatever it is that you need to sacrifice should not be a show. It's not to prove others that I'm high and holy. It's mainly for you. The sacrifice is for you because through that sacrifice, you're telling yourself that you're making your walk with Jesus a top priority in your life. Nothing else is more important. That's why you're doing it. That's why you're doing it. Life is a journey. Life is a walk. There will be trials and struggles along the way. But if we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, and if we're walking with him, we know that in the end, we're going to have victory with him in the end. May it be so for all of us. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you, Lord, as sinners in need of your grace. We confess, Lord, that we sometimes make decisions that we think are the right decision when they're not. We sometimes want to have the easy life when, Lord, sometimes the trial and the struggle will bring us into a closer walk with you, which is what we need. So, God, I just pray for each one of us this morning, whatever we're facing in our lives, whatever trial we're facing in our lives, whatever decision we have to make, we pray that we would go in your strength, that we would go in your Holy Spirit, and to know, Lord, that you have a plan, a victory for us in the end. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our closing hymn today is a very well-known song of conviction, When Peace Like a River. And as we sing this song, if you need prayer for anything, I invite you to come forward and I'll pray for you. If you want to make a decision for the Lord, I invite you to come forward. Let's all stand and sing number 336, When Peace Like a River. benediction today is taken from Jude chapter or verses 24 to 25. Hear these words. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion, power, both now and forever. Amen.